We read in yesterday's Torah reading one of the most famous quotes in the Torah. The Jewish people, in preparation of receiving the Torah, declared, Nasa v'nishma. We will do and we will hear. And much is made of this quotation that the Jewish people, before saying we will hear, said Nasa, we will do. And the lesson of that and the point of that is commonly said that the Jewish people said, we accept all the commandments of God, no questions asked. Truth be told, if you look both in yesterday's Torah reading and in the preceding Shabbos' Torah reading, we have the quote sometimes Nasa, we will do. We will do without even saying we will hear also makes the point. So Nasa v'nishma, we will do and we will hear, we will listen, clearly carries with it a unique idea. The Gemara in Shabbos says that when the Jewish people declared Nasa v'nishma, each member of the Jewish people received two crowns. One for the statement of Nasa, we will do, one for the statement of Nishma, we will hear. So this certainly connotes that it's more than just a technical necessity to find out what the rules are. Many ideas stated by the commentators about what is the nuance between Nasa and Nishma, and why do you have to say both? But one idea that I like to reflect on frequently is Nishma is not necessarily you'll tell us the rules. Nishma is we'll listen, we'll think about it, we'll reflect on the words of this Torah. And that therefore the Jewish people are really saying two very different things, each one worthy of receiving a crown. One is Nasa, God, whatever you tell us, we'll do. The other is Nishma, we see an inherent value in hearing the word of God, in reading the word of God, in reflecting on the word of God. Besides the fact that these are the instructions, there's so many lessons to be learned from them. And I think when we reflect on the very beautiful life and deeds of Dr. Fred Jaddick, Zichron Levracha, Asher Zelig ben Moshe Meir Halevi, I think this idea about what Nasa v'nishma means is extremely, extremely appropriate. I just want to say that I know Dr. Jaddick as a congregant. My relationship with Dr. Jaddick goes back many years before becoming serving in the rabbinate of this shul. The Jaddicks are very dear friends of the Rosenbaum family, and I've known Dr. Jaddick well for over 30 years. I want to reflect on some of the very inspiring things I picked up from Dr. Jaddick about this character trait of being a shomea, a true listener to the word of the Torah. We had the privilege, whether families, whether I studied here in the yeshiva, many times I was a guest at the Jaddick's table. I sat at many Shabbos tables, many other contexts with Dr. Jaddick, and many, many times I was asked to share a Dvar Torah. From my teenage years, I could be asked to share a Dvar Torah. And it's funny what sticks with you. It's a very strong image in my mind, happening to be sitting next to Dr. Jaddick and him pivoting his body to hear what I have to say and fully, fully focusing on every word. And even at the time, it really struck me, because here you have this person many, 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 many years his junior, and he was so interested in what I had to say. And of course, there was a lovely interpersonal conduct with that, but when I look back, I suspect it was more than that. It was the fact that I was sharing words of Torah. Much later, Dr. Jaddick demonstrated to so many people his tremendous passion in being a shomea. After he retired, Dr. Jaddick made it his business to be a very regular attendee at Shiurim at the Yeshiva of Greater Washington, the Yeshiva Gedola. And it was a very special thing to see. First of all, you have to realize that Dr. Jaddick would sit there at the Shiurim. I think he was most commonly an attendee at Rabbi Reingold Shiurim, I think so. But he would sit there at the Shiurim with people decades his junior, and he was the only one remotely in his age group. And he would really sit there. I remember being in the room, observing with admiration from a distance, really ketalmud ayoshev lifnei rabbo. His whole body language was of such humility and just wanting to hear. As he grew older, mobility was more and more of a challenge for Dr. Jaddick. And before he was completely homebound, he would need to come. Sometimes he would need to come with some type of cane. Sometimes he would need to be wheeled in. And he would come. And he would come just to hear words of Torah. Unfortunately, when he reached the point of being homebound, the ability to learn with people was, I think, the greatest chesed people could do for him, that they made time to learn with him b'chavrusa. And the fact that that's the thing that would energize a person carries with it a remarkable lesson for all of us. I want to say one more thing about Dr. Jaddick as a Shomea. There are numerous quotes in the Talmud and other rabbinic sources that talk about the great value of paying honor to Torah scholars, wanting to connect with Torah scholars. And I think many of us relate to that idea, and we relate to it as some type of Judaic etiquette. And, I guess it's Derech Eretz, it's what's appropriate, you're supposed to be respectful to people older than you, we're supposed to be respectful to people who know more Torah than you, whatever, add it to the list of people I'm supposed to respect. And of course, the idea is deeper than that. The idea is that we believe that the words of Torah are Kihem Chayin Baruch Yamenu, they are our very life source, and therefore if we meet a person who to us represents Torah knowledge, it's so important to treat that person with respect for our own sake, because think of all the lessons they carry with them. And the way Dr. Jaddick related to Talmidei Chachamim, to Torah scholars, was really something that we could all learn from. You'll forgive me for going back so far. I'm not exactly sure why I remember this, but clearly it made an impression on me. So my bar mitzvah was in this room. And my parents had to set up the seating for the tables. And please don't ask me the details that much. I don't remember. But I remember my mother telling me she had to figure out who to put at the Einemer's table. And I guess normally we put all rabbis together, there weren't that many rabbis together, who should sit at the Einemer's table? And I remember, don't ask me who else sat at the Einemer's table, but I remember my mother telling me flat off, we're going to put the Jaddicks at the Einemer's table, because it'll mean so much to Dr. Jaddick to get to sit with Rabbi Einemer. And that was the kind of person that he was. I saw many times in the room that he spent so many of his days and nights over the final period of his life. There were a few pictures in the room, and one of them was a very lovely picture of himself with Rabbi Einemer. It was very, very clear that he considered it a great, great zchus, a great opportunity to learn from and interact with Rabbi Lapiansky and Rabbi Reingold. And this all runs back to the tremendous priority he placed in his life on learning Torah and on people who were knowledgeable in Torah. He obviously was also certainly an oset. We've spoken so much about him being a listener to the words of Torah. He was a fulfiller of the words of Torah in many, many ways. Obviously, he was very diligent in his mitzvah observance. But on behalf of the shul, I want to specifically note his tremendous devotion to our congregation and community in serving as a gabbai for many, many years. He was a gabbai in the what was originally the University Boulevard Morning Minyan. And I remember him more vividly as a gabbai and frequently a stand-in for learning to Minchan Marv at the daily Minchan Marv Minyan. And I mentioned this at the Shiva, I know. But another picture of Dr. Jaddick that stays so firmly in my mind. We used to be, for those who remember, now we're in the main sanctuary. We used to be in the Beis Medrash on the other side of the building. And in his last years as a gabbai here in the shul, it was very clearly difficult for Dr. Jaddick to get around. And for anyone who can envision the Beis Medrash upstairs, the aisles are not necessarily as wide as might be comfortable for some. And I would be so struck at the end of davening, Dr. Jaddick, and there are light switches on two ends of the back of the room, and you can't turn them all off in one spot. Dr. Jaddick would walk from one end of the room to the other end of the room, but he had to kind of like go around the front, just watching him walk, to turn off the lights. He was doing for the shul. I would like to think that myself or others would offer to turn off lights. If I remember correctly, he felt it was his job. It was his responsibility and it was for him to do. One more thing in that mode, I remember there was someone who also served as a gabbai and actually would be the first substitute for Rabbi Einar, Zichrono Livracha, for learning into Mincha and Maariv, and that was Rabbi Jacob Wiener, Zichrono Livracha. And Rabbi Wiener was not as mobile as Dr. Jadak was. And I remember watching, when Dr. Jadak was a little bit more mobile, I remember watching how much Dr. Jadak would look after Rabbi Wiener. And Dr. Jadak, if it was going to be a day that Rabbi Wiener would learn, Dr. Jadak would make sure the Mishnah Berurah was open to the right page. And he would hand it to Rabbi Wiener. And he considered himself, and you saw it in the body language, he considered himself honored to be assisting Rabbi Wiener. And to me, these, forgive the pictures, but to me, these pictures are really who he was. He was a person who was so passionate about the study of Torah, passionate about honoring Torah scholars, passionate about doing for the community. He truly was an osa, a doer, and a shomea, and a listener, he who listened with great interest to words of Torah. But if I may say for a moment, there's one more inspirational image that I hope to keep in my mind for many years to come, and that is of Mrs. Jadak. Mrs. Jadak, who in her own right has done much in our community as a teacher of young children, and in recent years as a teacher of adults, a very popular teacher of both young children and adults, certainly a shomea, certainly a person who has great appreciation for Torah study, a good thought, a good question, a good answer herself. And to see over these past years how literally yom v'layla, day and night, Mrs. Jadak's life utterly revolved around her husband. It was a very inspiring thing to see, and a very beautiful thing to see. And to a family of learners and teachers, I guess the hope I would express is that both within the family and to so many, whether it be a person we happen to see him at Shul, whether it be a person we happen to sit at a Shabbos table with him, whether it be a person we happen to see him in the Beis Medrash, the memories of Dr. Fred Jadak as a true Eved Hashem, a true servant of God, a true Osa V'Shomea, should stay strong for many, many years to come and be a source of inspiration to many. I'd like to ask Rabbi Shmuel Lee, the director of the Golden Network, who was involved many times in studying with Dr. Jadak in his home, to share thoughts.
Just about Bonin, all those gathered here. First, thank you, Mrs. Jadak, for allowing me to share some memories. Appreciate it. Also, thank you, Rabbi Rosenbaum, who introduced me to Dr. Jadak many years, 8, 9 years ago. And I've gained a lot from the learning and from seeing his Darach HaChaim. Appreciate it. The last few weeks since Dr. Jadak's passing have been difficult, and especially at the time and day when we learned together. It was Sunday at 3 o'clock. And if you notice, when is this gathering scheduled for? Sunday at 3 o'clock. And that gives me great comfort that together, one more time, in a certain way, the Shema is here, and there's something special at this moment, and one more time, we'll be together and we'll learn. We have heard words of Torah, and it'll be one more visit with all of us. In Parshas Yisroel, we read 2 weeks ago, we read about Matan Torah, the getting of the Torah on Har Sinai. It's hard to imagine what was that event. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. If the sun would come down in this room, we would disappear. So Hashem created the sun, comes down in Har Sinai. So there was Choshech, Chonah, Varafel. It was clouds, it was darkness. It was a kol shofar, chazek moed. It was an incredible experience. And we can think it's distant, it's far, okay, our ancestors, you know, it's a nice thing we read about. But we're taught many places in the Torah that we are charged every single day to experience and feel Matan Torah. We say it in Shema. And these words, every single day, when they came to our Sinai, Hayom Hazeh. So we're supposed to look at the Torah like it's this letter from the most important person in the world, and we're going to look at it with enthusiasm and excitement and love, and that's what we have to feel every day. And for many people, including myself before I met Dr. Janik, it was a question. Matan Torah, thousands of years ago, our neshamas were there. And then, if you saw Dr. Janik learn, you'd have that question. And I know Avi Kotak, I don't know if you're here, he always talked about your chavrusa with him, the Mishnah, and everyone else. His posture, his awe. He was at Har Sinai. He was standing there. And it didn't matter where he was learning. So we started learning in the kitchen at the table. And then as time went on, it was on the bed. He was sitting up on the bed. See, the learning will be a little, you know, I mean, same. No difference. And we all know you wake up in the morning until you get dressed. You don't feel like, you don't feel good. You know, you get dressed, you take on the day. You're not feeling well, you're not dressed. You're just not, you don't have it with, you're not ready to take on the day and really feel like a person. And there were years where he wasn't able to get dressed in a way that's dignified, that all of us have that opportunity. But he was dignified inherently because the Torah, when he learned, it didn't make a difference what he was wearing. You feel, oh, how do you learn that? He sat there, it was like, it's unbelievable. And his health was irrelevant when he learned. The last time we learned, it was two weeks before his passing, Alfred, you may remember this. And I was very concerned because he was breathing. It was very difficult for him to breathe. And I was like, he was like gasping. I'm like, I'm going to call 911. And I run to the kitchen to you. And I say, he's breathing. You say, no, the doctor's coming. It's under control, whatever. And then I came back. But what was amazing is Dr. Janik is sitting on his bed, oblivious. It's not, this is my problem. That's not his problem. And he's sitting there with the safer. And like when I'm ready and I'm calmed down, and then we just continue learning. So nothing happened. Maybe someone's wrong. But that was him. But really, as long as it's coming, you know, I can get the words out. It didn't make a difference what his health was. It was Matan Torah, and that was the image. And that's an incredible gift that I had to see from him. We learned what I would call Shulchan Aruch Express, that only Dr. Jada could do. So we learned Mishnah Berurah with the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah with the Mishnah Berurahs, and he'd go through the Shulchan Aruch pretty quickly. And then he had a gift to pick out the exact points, the important points that he had to, you know, which everything's important, but there were specific ideas that we have to go in depth. And he would stop there and we'd go in and go in a little deeper. And we were able to go through the first, second, third, and begin the fourth volume of Mishnah Berurah recently, a few months before his passing, which he returned to me today, which I will always cherish. But this gift, he was to learn quickly and stop and see, you know, what's important here? And this gift of not just running over things, but even when he learned quickly to see the important points and stop and ask, you couldn't run it, you couldn't put anything over him. You saw, he knew exactly when there was something, there was a discrepancy, a question, something to look into. So when I came on Sundays, he would say, oh, I have a question for you. Well, I was doing Shnayim Mikra Bechatarka, did a practice to go through the Torah portion with the commentary of the Unklus every week. And for many people, unfortunately, they read through it. Hardly, you know, we try to understand it. But he said, I have a question. What's this? You know, I saw something. I said, oh, wow, I never saw that. So one example is Parshas Noach. I mean, in Parshas Noach, many examples. I'll just share one, you'll see how he was able to point to learn and see things like that. So it lists the sons of Bnei Noach. The sons of Noach, and it says, over there you look, it says that the children of Noach, they were split up according to their countries, according to their languages. They were speaking different languages. And then 30-some verses later, it says, "Vahi that the world, the nations, they were united. Sofa achas dvarim achadim. They had one language, and they were united to come with this plan against God." He says, "I don't understand. They're speaking different languages already, and we know that after the dispersion, after God's dispersion, only after that they were speaking different languages. So what is it? It says already they're speaking different languages. Then united with one language, and then only after that they're speaking different languages. So weren't they speaking different languages before?" So this is the type of question that he would ask, and it was enlightening and a lesson to see just how one has to look, even when they're doing something quickly, look into it. You could see really what the material has in it. He was very connected, not only to the Torah, but also to his Sfarim. His Sfarim were like parts of his body, literally. He probably learned with the addition of Mishnah Berurah that he used, probably was 50 or 60 years old. Maybe he got it when he was in the Sifta. Really, really old. It was very hard to read. The lettering was difficult. He would try. He would sit there like trying to read, and I would try to... So he suggested, you know, in the last 70 years, they've come with new editions, you know. But they're only $10, you know. And so when we started the second or third volume, I even bought him one. And then he was very, you know, respectful. And then a few weeks later, he gave it back to me and said, "You know, thank you. I'll just keep it with my own." And it wasn't until we started the fourth volume, which he returned to me, it's Hilchos Erevin and this nice pictures and scenarios, it's diagrams. I said, "Come on." So he said, "Fine." But he didn't even write his name in it. I could return it almost to the... He just took it like maybe to make me feel good or something. But why were they so connected? What was it? What was it? And like we said, his not only the Torah was like, but the books, when he toiled. He worked with them for years. He couldn't just give it away. It was part of him. The Sfarim was so much part of him that he couldn't part with them in any way. So that's who he was. So anyone who knows Dr. Jaddick could testify he wasn't someone who's posach hashtei seif. If he had a way, when he made a decision, he wasn't unwavering. He kept to it. He was unwavering about it. And he was knowledgeable. He's a Talmud Chacham. He was connected to all the Rabbanim, Talmud Chachamim. He was someone who had a background. And he didn't just say things. So if you made a decision, he had a reason for it. And unless you had a compelling reason, he wouldn't really change his mind. But what's unique about him is that he knew that there was another opinion. For many people, so yeah, I think this way, but there's no other way. But he understood there's another way. He once shared with me a story. He used to have a minion in his house for a yahrzeit for his father or mother. He'd gather together a minion, and he would be the chazan. The Baal Tefila, okay? He would lead the service. And then, most of the time, he would do that. And so after, one of the times, after these minyanim, one of the congregants of this, you know, makeshift minute came to him and said that, you know, "Dr. Jaddick, I'm not coming back." He said, "I don't like you, darling. I don't know the issue. He was doing it too slow, too fast, or something. Then he's not coming back." So he tells me the next Sunday, he says, "I understand this guy. You know, he felt he was doing it right, whatever it was." He said, "I understand this guy doesn't want to come. You know, it's no problem. I accept." But he brought it up to me, so he's thinking about it, but if you do something, you think it's right, and after thought, you decide that that's the right way to go. But that's greatness to say, you know, there's another opinion. I understand that. That's okay. And I saw this in other times also, that he was someone who could have an opinion, but still be accepting of others. But I just want to end, you know, thanking you, Mrs. Jaddick, seeing your care and your love and what you did for his life, and especially his learning. When we were learning at the table in the kitchen, so you would prepare these fruit. You come with this fruit. You go to the whole county or state to buy the most beautiful fruit available. And then if you couldn't find the perfect one, you'd apologize. "I went to Costco, they don't have it. I went to Shalom, so I have to make do with something else." And like, it was on China with the ice water. It was like a wedding. It was beautiful. The learning was beautiful. The refreshments were beautiful. And that's unforgettable. You know, to your caring and love, because it's so important to you. He's up above.
This is Esther Jack.
Sure. just a follow-up rabbi. Very often he would tell me Sunday morning, cancel Rabbi Lee, I'm not feeling well. And I would say to him, no, we're not canceling, because after you learn with Rabbi Lee, you feel better. And I did not cancel. So all the times that you came and he wanted, and it was true. When you left, he was much better. Okay, this is the hesped that I delivered at the funeral. Fred was born in Vienna, Austria, in 1934. In 1938, the Germans invaded Austria. Although but a child, Fred remembered synagogues burning. He remembered the Nazis demanding the keys to his parents' store that they had owned. One night, the Nazis came looking for his father. His father was gone. His parents had prepared for this. His babysitter's brother had close ties with some Nazis. He took Fred's father and hid him in a church. Somehow his father got to England and was interned there in the Kitchener work camp. Fred and his mother were able to leave Austria to England in early 1939. They were Polish citizens, and Hitler did not invade Poland until September 1st, 1939. In England, his mother worked as a cook in a Jewish restaurant in London. Fred was placed in a Jewish home for refugee children, and it was a devastating experience for him. The children received very little food because the home was run by unscrupulous people who kept the food allotment money for themselves. The only nourishing food Fred had was when his mother brought for him in her weekly visits to him. These traumatizing early years impacted Fred throughout his life. He turned his victimhood into survival mode. He developed determination, persistence, and perseverance. Fred came to America when he was 6 years old. His parents enrolled him in public school. In the afternoons, he went to Hebrew school, where he learned to read Hebrew and daven. For some years, he attended yeshiva and was very drawn to the learning. He was also very determined to be Shomer Shabbat. He joined the Young Israel in Williamsburg, where he befriended Hirsch Mendelowitz. I don't know how many of you remember Hirsch, whom he met many years later in Kent Mill, and who served as a role model for him. As a young adult, Fred was very taken by learning the holy books. He was determined to learn Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara in depth. He felt that to understand these Sfarim, he needed to have a foundation in Hebrew grammar. So he bought a grammar book and studied it from cover to cover. Then he felt ready to go on in learning Sifrei Kodesh. When he came across a word he did not understand, he would look it up immediately in the dictionary, which was always on the table by his side, by the side of the Sefer. He had patience and perseverance. His soul yearned for Hashem's Torah and for rabbinic writings. In essence, Fred was self-taught in Judaic learning initially. When he was well, Fred never turned down a meshulach who came to the door. He would say, that could have been me begging for money. Even after one meshulach stole our account information and Fred needed to close down that account, Fred continued giving. He gave cash until he opened a new checking account. By the end of the year, he made sure we had given 10% of our income to tzedakah. Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick, was another mitzvah very dear to Fred's heart. He would call and he would visit. Even when he could no longer drive to visit, he continued with his weekly phone calls, making sure they were done before bringing in Shabbos. Fred was an intellectually curious person, which stood him in good stead in learning and in secular subjects. When he retired, he joined the yeshivim at the Yeshiva Gedola in the mornings and became a golden idea at the University of Maryland in the afternoons. His interest was so varied. Among the many courses he took were Chinese history, jazz, gypsy culture, car mechanics, Renaissance art, world religions, photography, and not to be passed over, Abarbanel. One of Fred's life dreams was to get smicha. Although he did not realize this dream, he spent many pleasurable years studying in the yeshiva with Rabbi Lapigansky Shlita and Rabbi Reingold Shlita. His perseverance in learning prepared him to give a shiur in Mishnah and Mishnah Berurah in Shul between Mincha and Maariv with Rabbi Einemer's Alava Shalom permission. Even when he couldn't get around independently, Fred attended Yeshiurim in the yeshiva daily for many years. His non-Jewish male caregiver, which is with us today, Alfred Stubblefield, also learned a lot from the Yeshiurim, and they would discuss it when they came home. When he could no longer attend the Yeshiurim in the yeshiva, Fred continued learning at home on his own and arranged to learn with Chavrutot, with Avi Kotek on Shabbatot, and with Rabbi Lee on Sundays. All week, Fred looked forward to these Sheyurim and made sure he prepared for them. When people called to pay a visit on the phone, they often shared a Dvar Torah with Fred. This lifted his spirits tremendously, and there was always a smile on his face when he hung up. People would ask me, what should I say to him? I said, give him a Dvar Torah. That you don't have to do anything else. Just give him a Dvar Torah. Fred was a member of Shomri Emuna when it was located in Ricks Park. Funds were being raised when the shul was relocating to University Boulevard. Fred stepped up to the plate and gave his donation. In return, he received a high holiday seat for life for the annual fee of $2. And last year, each year, he would fondly recount this episode. Fred attended Minyan 3 times a day. When his health situation prevented him from doing that, he would daven at home at the same times that the shul davened, or that the yeshiva davened. In this way, he felt part of the minyan. Over the years, Fred served as vice president and gabbai of the shul. He attended Sheyarim, annual dinners, various functions, and just as the young Israel of Williamsburg was his home, so was Shomrei Emunah. He loved the shul, he loved the community. At this point, I would like to express my hakarat hatov, my appreciation, to all those in the community who have supported Fred in different ways over the years that he had been ill. My hakarat hatov to Rabbi Lapigansky Shlita, Rabbi Reingold Shlita, Rabbi Rosenbaum Shlita, and Rabbi Katz Shlita, whose visits always uplifted Fred's spirits. My hakarat hatov to Rabbi Lee and Avi Kotek, who kept the fires burning within Fred to continue his learning. My hakarat hatov to Scott Schlesinger. Scott, are you? Scott Schlesinger and Larry Kaur, who graciously and frequently volunteered to take Fred to doctor appointments. My hakarat hatov to the fine yeshiva bachurim, who volunteered to take Fred to the yeshiva on Shabbos for davening and took care of his needs throughout the service. A number of years ago, they made him a surprise birthday party to drink a l'chaim with him. Did you know that? Okay. What is that? My hakarat hatov to all those who visited and or called to check in on Fred and reassure him that he was not forgotten, even though he was homebound for so many years. And last but certainly not least, my hakarat hatov to all our relatives and friends outside of the community who have visited and called over the years to express their love and give Fred chizuk. I am truly indebted to all of you, since extending help to the sick person also helps the caregiver. May Hashem bless you all with good health until 120. At this point, I would like to add, after the Shiva and the few weeks that followed, my hakarat hatov to this community for the outpouring of love, food, visits, donations, and phone calls. This is truly an outstanding community, and I feel privileged to be part of it. I would be remiss if I didn't add one more person to whom I am much indebted, Fred's caregiver, Alfred Stubblefield. Alfred was literally a shaliach, a messenger from Hashem. I was asking Hashem to please help me, and Alfred called. Literally, it just happened that way. He took wonderful care of Fred, always ensuring his safety and his comfort. And this is what I added at the cemetery. When Fred's body was lying there. And now, my dear husband, you had the wonderful midah of always apologizing to me if you felt you hurt me. I ask mechila of you now for all the times I might have hurt you but hadn't realized it. I will always remember your love, your support, your kindness, your consideration and thoughtfulness of me. I love you and will miss you very much. Lech b'shalom.
Cousin Sholi Wasser.
On the drive down here this morning, I was thinking of the so many beautiful memories that our family had. From the many trips we would make, mostly for Shavuos, to come to Silver Spring to visit Fred and Esther, Moshe and Annette, Aleha Shalom, and our beloved Aunt Rivki, Aleha Shalom, Moshe and Esther's mother, and to spend time in this wonderful community. We came here for so many years that I believe we experienced the cicadas more than twice. My parents, Aleihem HaShalom, almost couldn't wait for Shavuos. They so looked forward to spending time here. They were just beautiful, warm, happy times. And I remember my father even dancing with our Aunt Rivki in Moshe and Annette's living room just the night before she passed away. She passed away the very next day on Shavuos while we were here. Fred and Esther would open their home to us, and the time here was full of laughter, delicious food, walks in the park, a little tennis, shopping at Lohman's, and the Torah Shavuos night, and the Zmiros and Torah at the Shabbos and Yom Tov tables. And I remember when Fred came into the family, we were all so excited when Esther got engaged. I believe Moshe made the shidduch. And we were so happy to have Fred as part of our family. Fred was brilliant. A man of great yashrus, honesty, humility, and integrity. And as we've heard, he looked to help others. He was a osik b'tzarchei tzibur. And as was mentioned, when he spoke to you, he spoke b'nachas ruach. He had a kavod abrios, which was extraordinary, and a respect for his fellow man, and a kavod haTorah, and as was said, kavod haRabbanim, an honor for Torah, and a great honor for Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshiva, even if they were much younger than him. There was also a princely elegance to him. He wouldn't talk much about himself, though we did hear and felt the pain of his experiences through the war years. He came to America, as Esther said, at a young age, and Baruch Hashem, he accomplished. He was a graduate of Columbia University. I believe he did his postgraduate work at Cornell, and he received his doctorate at Johns Hopkins. And he spent most of his work years at the GOA, where I believe he was the assistant director. And he had many, many people working for him. He was Dr. Fred Jaddick. He was accomplished. There's a beautiful medrash that asks, what is the most essential, all-inclusive pasuk in the entire Torah? The one pasuk that would perhaps define Judaism to us. Ben Zoma said, and it's the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Ben Nana said, it's the pasuk of V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Ben Pazi said, it's the pasuk of Esakeves Ha'echad Ta'ase Baboker. The first lamb shall be offered in the morning, referring to the carbon tumid, which was brought every day. And the Medrash concludes, Amar Aploni, Reploni said, Halacha k'ben Pazi. We paskin, we rule like Ben Pazi. The Medrash presents psukim, which to some extent summarize the total content of the Torah. Ben Zoma says, the pasuk of Shema Yisrael places at the center of Judaism recognition of Hashem, to be obedient towards Hashem, and understanding his relationship with Klal Yisrael. Benana says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. You should love your friend as yourself. And he mirrors Rabbi Akiva's statement of Zeh Klal Gadol BaTorah, that the mitzvos are signs and steps towards developing a more refined ethical personality and character. But what about Ben Pazi? Why does he mention the pasuk related to the Karban Tamid? So the Maharal, who is really the source of this medrash, explains that day in, day out consistency is the foundation of our Torah. While Ben Pazi certainly understands and agrees with the fundamental importance of Shema Yisrael and V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha, it is the consistency, the day in, day out service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is so important. We have to feel as if we are servants to Hashem and serve Him every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I believe that this medrash certainly defines who Fred was. That consistent, day in, day out service to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. When we would go to shul, when we were here in the morning, it was like clockwork. I don't know if he was ever late. And years ago, when we would go to daven at the old shul on University Boulevard, Young Israel building there, it appears as if time they would actually struggle for a minyan in the morning, but Fred was there. But there was more to Fred. He was a Ben Aliyah. He was certainly an Eved Hashem, but he didn't stagnate in his service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Esther mentioned, in his earlier years, he wanted to get closer to Hashem and to have a deeper appreciation of learning Torah. Then on his own, he actually took this grammar book and a dictionary to learn to read more fluently, to enable to learn Torah and to bring him closer to Hashem. And through the years, we saw this progression of growth in his learning and Torah knowledge. And he actually, as was just mentioned, occasionally would give the shir in halacha in the shul. And in his later years, after he retired, he wound up spending more and more time in the yeshiva gedola here, sitting and learning and attending shurim. It was just an amazing, extraordinary progression of growth in his life, of learning Torah and coming closer to Hashem. These past number of years were quite challenging and difficult for him and Esther. And Esther, we were all in awe of the way you took care of him. But Esther, you did more. My brother Yaakov, just got here. He gave a beautiful explanation of the Chazal of Ezehu Ishak Sheira Misha Oser Ritzon Baila. We normally understand the Chazal that who is an Ishak Sheira? The woman who does the will of her husband. Which you, Esther, certainly did. But he gave a little spin to the understanding of this Chazal. He said, Ezehu Ishak Sheira Misha Oser Ritzon Baila. You enabled, you directed, and you made, you enabled the will of your husband. He saw you, and you encouraged him to learn Torah and to come closer to Hashem. Because Esther, that's what your life is all about. The master mechaneches with your emuna and betachon, you impacted Fred's life greatly, and you enhanced his life. You impacted Margaret and Mark's lives. You impacted the Linzer Wasser family. You impacted so many students through the years. And you continue to impact the community in a very significant way that we see that they love you and they revere you, and rightfully so. Hashem should give you the strength to continue with Gesund to impact so many people. And Usher Zelig, Ben Ramosher Meir's Lufti Neshama, should have an aliyah. He should be a Melitz Yosher for all your needs, all of the family's needs, all of the community's needs, and all of Klal Yisrael. Yehi Zichro Baruch.
Reingold, the Rosh Kol of Yeshiva Greater Washington.
Baruch Hashem, a lot of thoughts have been shared. I would like to talk more on a personal level. Dr. Jadav and I have a very beautiful friendship. We moved here in 1997, and I think Dr. Jadav joined the share in 1998, if I recall correctly. So the yeshiva had started 2 years prior to that, and I was brought in as a second Rebbe. Most of the Bachurim went to Rebbe Lapiansky's share, a few boys went to my share. All of a sudden, there's this elderly gentleman asked, can I join the share? I said, fine with me. And I assumed he had background in learning because he wanted to join a yeshiva gadol shir. And he never abused me of that in any way. That wasn't true. Not that I knew there was a formal education, but I see clearly he had worked on it to the point that he was able to do that. And he was there every day. And he was there every day on time. And he was there every day on time, even when one day we decided there's not going to be shir because the boys didn't show up. Why? He was there, so the shir was just for him. And I learned very early on, I have to call the house and inform him in case there's not going to be shir because he's going to be there no matter what. And he was totally engaged. He would prepare beforehand, he would prepare at home. And he would spend clearly a large amount of time preparing to be able to follow the shir. Getting used to my yeshivish language was a little bit of a challenge for him at the beginning. He would stop me and ask me, and that was fine. And then he would review the shir, because the next day he'd walk in, Rabbi, I was thinking about what you said yesterday, I have a question. And this went on every single day. And I was thinking about what you said yesterday, and I have a question. And it was great. And this went on, the yeshiva cycle, we go through the mesechtas over a period of 6 years. He was in my share for a full 6 year cycle. Went through all of the mesechtas that we covered. And then he asked me, what about, can you join Rabbi Lapiansky's share? I said, yes. See, he went up to the next level. After 6 years, we graduated up to the next level, and he joined Rabbi Lapiansky's shir. I think he finished a full cycle by Rabbi Lapiansky as well. At one point in time, I actually took over Rabbi Lapiansky's shir, and then he was confused. What do we do now? I'm saying at a different level. At that point in time, I think he wasn't able to come anymore. That was not during the weekdays. And this is 5 days a week. Then he started davening yeshiva on Shabbos. And there's a chumashir Shabbos morning. And that's when you would come with the sit into that class. And he would ask questions, which was okay. It wasn't standard. It was okay. He would pipe up the questions during the class. But a lot of times he would write till afterwards, in deference to most people were keeping quiet during the shir. But he was interested in learning and knowing. And I was always convinced that he had this yeshiva background. And I only found out during the shiva that was not true. So that tells you how much he had accomplished on his own to be able to come to a high level. It wasn't a high school shiva, this is a post-high school shiva. This is a graduate level shiva. And he is following the shiva, and he's preparing, and he's doing it. I heard him give many times the Mishnah Berurah, Siman Chamara, and again, I saw the level of understanding was impressive. Over the years, we started talking. I started schmoozing because, you know, he was my oldest Talmud. When I first came, I didn't have a white beard, believe it or not. And it was a little bit, it was somebody that I looked up to. It was a role model to the boys. So here's a person who was there all the time. And it can't not leave an impression on these young men how important learning is. And he was clearly engaged. He never was mind wandering during Shira as you would expect a 19, 20 year old, excuse me, might have. He was with me. He was focused. He was on top of me. So I would just sometimes throw a question out to him because I knew he had a background in different areas, and I would ask him questions. He started asking me questions as well. And so we started schmoozing. I'm a fairly good schmoozer. And we became friends. And I think when he started coming to yeshiva for Shabbos and for the shiurim, that was part of it as well. I think he felt not only the learning, but the friendship. And he started having the bachurim over for Shabbos. And he made himself a place in the yeshiva. And then he realized that this was his dream. His dream wasn't just to learn, but to be part of a community, of a group of people which their focus right now is just learning. They're not doing anything else in their life right now, but they're in the growth mode to become better people, understand better. I would say halachas. He would ask me about it. He would want to get it clear. How do I know that? Where did it come from? And we would discuss different things along the way. I would come to the house once a year. In those days, I had the schus to take one of the people who's come and come collect for Tal's yeshiva to the house. And we would come every year to visit, to stop in to get a donation for Tal's yeshiva, my alma mater. And we had this wonderful visit over there. And then when Fred stopped coming, I would start visiting the house occasionally. I wish I'd come more. And we had this wonderful time learning together. And Esther would always sit there also. There was such a thing as just, you know, she wanted to be part of the conversation. I realized that the two of you were a team together doing this. So what are you leaving with? What am I taking away? What was the lessons that Usher Zelig ben Moshe Meir Levy left me? I spent many years in yeshiva. I was zecher to be in yeshiva. He wasn't zecher to be in yeshiva. Learning is important to me. Learning was important to him. That I had the advantage. I had learned to appreciate my advantage, that I had something which he never had. And how much that meant to somebody who didn't have it, how much he's going to seek that out and find that opportunities. And the Rosham sent him an opportunity into his lap. I think that the reason why it happened, if you want to know why the Sheba Dalla moved to Silver Spring, it's probably the Schuster Fred Jadd. Right? He wanted that opportunity, and the Rosham sent it to him. That it wasn't embarrassing to ask a question in front of people which are much younger than you. It wasn't ready to say, I don't know. I don't understand. Please repeat. And during the show, I would ask for feedback. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And he would say, no, I don't. Please repeat. It wasn't beneath his dignity to go learn with somebody who was much younger than him. He had tremendous covet for Lapiansky and myself, even though we were much younger than him. And saw the deference, the way he would talk to me. And I was looking at him as a friend, he's looking at me as a Rebbe. The way he respected the young men, the lessons he respected the young men because these are boys are learning Torah. And he appreciated them, and he felt they were special, and he gave that message to the boys, and the boys reflected that back. There was a simcha that he had when you, in life in general, life was exciting to him, life was interesting to him. I did not know what he was doing in the afternoon, that he was going out to college, but I'm not surprised at all to hear that. Life is about knowledge, life is about understanding, life is about growing, thinking, challenging, wondering. And he wasn't just saying that, but he was living it. And it came across in his excitement. And it was a schus for the yeshiva, a schus for us to be part of that. Be part of that. I want to mention a few other points, which wasn't personal in that sense. Once in a while, I would have to go to the early minyan for carpool issues, etc. For those who deserve to have the world carpool, right? Those days of the week, you have to get the earliest minyan. And I would come, early because I happened to daven more on the slower side. And that minyan happens to go on a faster side. And I had worked out exactly how much I had to start beforehand to be able to get to Shmoneh Esrei at the same time as the shul. I see Larry is smiling over there, right? And Fred was always there. I was there, I think, one of the first people there. I would come usually 15 minutes, at least 15 minutes prior, and he was there already. And the shul was open. I think one time I got there and the shul wasn't open yet. I had to wait for him to come. To meet in Kisidrum, always on time, always there. Davening was important. When he would come to the yeshiva, the boys would pick him up. We had to switch them. They had to be there because he had to make sure he got the yeshiva on time, etc. The organization, the boys had to come beforehand to try out, and make sure they knew how to do it in a way which was safe, that he should be able to be safe to do it safely. And these were lessons which I think that we didn't think about so much. They're just like, they were normal. That was obvious. And you start reflecting back, it's not so obvious. It's not so normal. It's not so average. And he enriched our lives. He enriched our lives tremendously. I can speak for members of the community as well to say that as a friend, as a person in the community, as a person who took Achrayus, as the Gabi of the Minyan, as a person who learned, a person who taught, a person who grew, a person who questioned, a person who challenged, a person who grew. We saw that. We absorbed it. And he left a little bit of us, a little of himself in all of us. So he's went on to his reward. He went down to the Elam Emes, to his reward. And every day, he's getting another package from this world, of all the schusim that he left behind, the impact that he left on all of us. Every day there's a knock on his kupah, and there's a package of jewels being sent from down here to all the people who are inspired and affected. And are different people because of him. So we should see that this memory, these memories, even if they're not in the forefront of our minds, and they're not obvious, they're not clear to us, the lessons have been absorbed, and we take those with us. And they do, and they have, and they will. Bezos Hashem, and it'll be turned to schus, either be his neshama, and shezoicha that this community should always continue to grow, and learn from people like that, and shezoicha that many more people in our midst, which are such role models for all of the community. Thank you.
I'll ask Rabbi Yosef Linzer, nephew, to make the siyum and the Mishnayos learned as a mirror for Dr. Jadot and Shama.
I'm just saying for the Kaddish.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Baruch Hashem that we were able to learn actually for the Mishnayos of Shisha Sidra Mishnah. Most of the Mishnayos actually were quickly taken by members of the family. The yeshiva helped out with the remaining, but Baruch Hashem, it was able to be done mostly by the family. So the end of all of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah is Maseches Uktzin, and the last Mishnah in Uktzin really sums up and gives us something to end with all of learning all of Mishnayos. says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehanchil l'chol tzadik v'tzadik sholosh meos v'asar olamos. That Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that in the future, in Olam Haba, Hashem is going to give to each tzaddik 310 worlds. That are, it's like 310 times this world they'll get in pleasure in Olam Haba. Sh'ne'amar lehanchil o'av ha'yesh v'otra sehem amalei. That I will inherit to those who love me, yesh, which is yesh, begamatria is should and yud, that's 310. Votrasehem amalei, and their storage houses I will fill. And so the Mishnah ends with us with this. The Bartanur explains to tell us the reward of tzaddikim who have learned the Torah and fulfilled it. And as we have heard, I think, very much over here, how Uncle Fred is someone that did that. He fulfilled the mitzvot, was very careful in them, spent a lot of time learning, and to a great extent was self-taught in that. And the Mishnah is telling us the great reward that he's going to have. And what does it say? It brings the pasuk, lehanchel o'av ha'yesh, to those who love me, right? Because only someone who loves Hashem will put in that time and that effort and do it so consistently, as was said. Yesh. What's yesh? Yesh means something, an existence. That Hashem says, I'm going to give them a true existence, an Olam Haba. This world is temporary, but they will get their true reward in Olam Haba, which is the true existence. And finally, the Mishnah concludes, all of Shas concludes, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, L'motza Kodesh Baruch Hu klimachzik bracha l'Yisrael el ha-shalom. That Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta says, Hashem wants to give so much good to the Jewish people. That's what he wants. That's he created us to give us good. And he said, the vessel that is going to hold that bracha, that's going to be able to receive it, is shalom, is peace. Shenamar, Hashem ozam oyitein, Hashem yivarech asamo v'shalom. Hashem gave strength to his nation. He gave us, the Torah gave us strength. Hashem will bless his nation with peace. And as the Gro explained, you know, you can have a barrel that's made out of boards, out of slats. For that barrel to hold something, the slats have to be tightly coupled, have to be tight together. If there's space between them, then you won't be able to put anything, any liquid in that barrel, just pour out. So the Jewish people, only when they're tight together, and they're a unit, and there's peace between them, can Hashem give us that peace, that give us that bracha, that blessing, and all the good that he wants to give us. And I know certainly, like, we'd come, in fact, it was one of our trips for Chol HaMoed, and even during the summer, to come and visit Aunt Essie and Uncle Fred with the family. You know, it was like, that was our Chol HaMoed trip, in fact. Everyone looked forward to it, and especially to Aunt Essie's then giving us food afterwards. And it can't go away without food from a Jewish home, right? But when we'd come, Uncle Fred would be very interested in what each of my children was doing, what I was doing, what was happening with us. You know, he was just showed a lot of concern and interest in who and in what was going on with us. In fact, I do remember also that few times ago that we came, I think a cousin of his had called, who had recently lost her husband, and like they said, okay, I have to take this call, I have to talk to her. You know, she needs some chizuk, I have to talk to her, make her feel better, feel more comfortable, and as also have heard, you know, about the shalom that he would engender by visiting people, by welcoming mishulachim, and making them feel comfortable. That generates that shalom in the Jewish people, and that allows Hashem to do what he so much wants to do, which is to give us bracha, to give us good and blessing. Hadron alach shita sidra mishnah, hadra chalan, daitan alach shita sidra mishnah, v'daita chalan, v'lesisnashi minach, shita sidra mishnah, v'lesisnashi minach, lo ba'al ma'adein, v'lo ba'al ma'adasi. Hadron alach shita sidra mishnah, v'hadra chalan, daitan alach shita sidra mishnah, v'daita chalan, v'lesisnashi minach, shita sidra mishnah, v'lesisnashi minach, lo ba'al ma'adein, v'lo ba'al ma'adasi. Hadron alach shita sidra mishnah, v'hadra chalan, Daitan alach shita sidra mishnah v'daita chalan l'sisnashi minach shita sidra mishnah v'lisisnashi minon lo ba'al ma'adein v'lo ba'al ma'adasi. Harev na Adonai Eloheinu es divrei sorosecha b'finu v'fios amecha b'yis Yisrael v'niyah kulanu anachnu v'tzeetzo'enu v'tzeetzei
By the way, I think this really, as we've heard, represents Uncle Fred. I'm running, they're running, get up, getting up early, we're running and getting reward. They're not getting the true reward. We work, put in that effort to learn, to do mitzvos. It's really really what it's about. Shita Sidra Mishnah, Kachtaz Reino, Lehaskel, Svarim Achirim, Lesaimam, Lilmod, Lamed, Mitocha Rechava, Lishmar, Velasos, Ulakayim, it's called Divrei Samatar Secha Biava, Zuchus Kalatanoim, the Tamide Chachamim, Haniskarim, Shita Sidra Mishnah, Mikola Svarim, Shalmadatan, Shalmadnu, Yamad Li, Lazari, Lazara Zari, Shalatomash, Hatar, Hakdosh, Mipi, Mipi, Zari, Zara Zari, Miatavi Adolam, Vikayim Banu, Mikroshikasu, Bisalecha, Tancha, Osach, Bishach Bukhatishma, Alecha, Vakitsosa, he is Sisichecha, Ki Yerbu Yamecha, Ki yibu yamecham v'yosifu l'chashnos chayim orech yomim v'yimina b'smola osher v'chavod Adonai oz ha'mayitain Adonai v'arech ha'samo v'ashalom. Yisgadal v'yisgadash shemei rabo.
Amen.
Yamadu asid v'yisgadato ule'ach yo'o meisaya ule'asaka v'chaye alma ule'mivne karta d'yushleim ule'shachlal hechalei b'gavo ule'me'akar puchana nukhra me'aram. La Sava Puchana de Shmael Asrei, the Amlich Kuchab Rihu, Bemahuse, Vikare, Vikayakon, Viamechon, Vikayedo Hobes, Israel, Bagalo, Visman Karev, Vimra,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just while people are still standing, we'll just say the Kiel Mole prayer. Hail Mole Rachamim, Shochein, Bamiromim, Hamsei Menuchon Chono, Al Kanfei Ashchina, B'malos Kedoshimu Torim, Kizar Harakia Mazi Rim, Es Nishmas, Asher Zelig Ben Moshe Meir Halevi, Shalach liolama, bavur shanachum spalalim, biaras karas nishmaso, began eden tehemenuchaso, lochem balarachim miasti rehu, say ser knafav liolamim, vitzror, betorach hayimes nishmaso, adonayunach laso, vianuach, bishalom al mishkavo, vinomar, amen.
We wish Mrs. Jadik and Margaret and Mark, all of the relatives, all of the friends, and all of the admirers, much, much consolation. And as has been said, may we all continue to do things to accrue many merits to the neshama of Asher Zelig ben Moshe Meir Halevi. For those who would like, there's going to be a mincha minyan in the room behind the wall, right in that door. We'll say mincha will start in 5 minutes.